All right. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, everybody. Hello, Mom and Dad on the internet. Thank you, Mark. It's almost like that was an introduction, you know, as if it were the preceding verses to what I'm going to speak on tonight. So anyway, so thank you for the opportunity to speak. We are going to look at verses 25 to 32. And I just wanted to make a couple of observations about some that apply to this scripture, but apply to all of Psalm 119 that I think are helpful in looking at these verses. If you don't already recognize this, Psalm 119 is a poem, and it's a commentary about the believer's relationship to God's Word. Okay? It's a commentary with many. It's not like big flowery language. It's not long, complicated sentences. It's a lot of just simple, succinct statements and thoughts about our relationship to God's Word. It has instructions, what we're to do with God's Word. Just at a glance, we're to hide it in our hearts. Doesn't mean you're supposed to hide your sister's Bible. But we're to hide it, we're to heed it, we're to learn it, we're to keep it, we're to walk in it. Or to seek it. I mean, you know, there's just many instructions. So if you want, you know what to do with this thing, okay, here, you know, read Psalm 119. You'll know what to do with your Bible. Okay, it's right there. How to study the Bible. The other thing is, this poem, it speaks of the blessings of those who do those things. So what do they receive? Your way will be pure is one of the blessings. You will be kept from sin. You will have understanding, and you will walk at liberty. And then the third thing I wanted to point out, so there's instructions, there's blessings that are described, and the third thing is there are all of these short prayers that the psalmist prays for himself, that we can pray for ourselves. So, if you don't know how to pray, you can just pull out Psalm 119, and you can begin there, and you can pray. And there's examples, because as Mark was saying, there's what God has called us to is it's not, you know, okay, sure, I'm just gonna let me be pure. Okay, got it, done. I'm pure now. Like, no, on our own. You know, that's a lost cause, but there are prayers throughout this psalm that God has provided for us. So let's move on to focus in on the verses that I have. Is this thing echoing too much? It's okay. All right, don't mess it up. Okay. All right. Okay, so verse 25 is where we're starting. And all this passage that we're looking at has all those things. It has instructions for what to do. It has blessings for those who do them, and it has prayers. And I'm really going to focus a lot on those prayers that God is giving us, what we can do, how we can pray. And it's kind of funny to say how to pray for yourself, but this is really what these prayers are for, is how to pray for yourself in a very important way. So verse 25, my soul clings to the dust. Quicken me, or revive me, in other translations, according to thy word. Okay, so this first statement, my soul clings to the dust. The psalmist is describing the state of his own soul. And if he says his soul is clinging to the dust, I mean, if you go up to someone after church and you say, hey, how's it going? And they go, oh, my soul is clinging to the dust. You know, not having a good day. This isn't good. So, what does it mean? Because, like, that's a pretty foreign thing to say. You know, we don't say that. Throughout the Bible, dust is a pretty interesting word to look at in the Bible. God uses it as a counting word to talk about, like, you know, as numerous as the dust, you know, the soldiers of the Assyrians were as numerable as the dust in the earth, or your descendants will be as many as the dust. Like it's used that way a lot. Dust also is a metaphor for death, going down to the dust. we come from the dust, we go back to the dust. It's a metaphor for death. And it's also a word that's used to describe being like completely humbled. Either because like there's some national problem and like, you know, we're going to seek God and pray, we're going to get down into the dust, or like I am in a personal difficult mess and I am in the dust. Those kind of things. There's other uses of dust, but so our psalmist is in the dust. His soul is cleaving to the dust. He's humbled by something, and nothing is so humbling as the consequences of our own sin. Sin will put you in the dust, and sin will cover you in shame. So if you find yourself in the dust, what do you do? Well, what does the psalmist do? He says here, quicken me or revive me according to your word. So what's this word revive or quicken mean? Anybody? Wake up.
Made alive.
Be made alive. Anyone else? That pretty much covers it. It's to come back, come to life from a state of deadness or from sleep. But it's actually a pretty common word in the Bible. And it speaks of physical death and physical revival, like the child that Elijah prayed for, he revived. And it also speaks of spiritual death and spiritual life. So the psalmist says, revive me. Susanna, he says, revive me. Do you think he's physically dead? Amen. You must have stole my notes. No. That's right. Thank you, honey. He's not physically dead, obviously. So this is kind of strange. Like, we have an author of the Bible saying, revive me, like bring me from a state of deadness to life. He's not physically dead. Is he spiritually dead? Now, I don't think he's spiritually dead in the sense that Paul speaks of in Ephesians, where it says that you were dead in your sins and transgressions, but you were made alive in Christ. Okay, see here we have this theme of being made alive. This is a spiritual made alive. So, but the psalmist, this isn't an unsaved non-Christian writing this. So here we have a believer, one of God's saints, who has, in some sense, deadness. And he's saying, and it's caused him to be humbled into the dust. Paul writes in Philippians, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. So there remains something about us that still needs to be changed. We are changed. I can testify to being changed, experiencing a profound change, and yet I can tell you I still need to be changed. We all do. And it will not be until the day of Christ Jesus that all of that change is done. I know it's just kind of a mysterious thing to think about. Like, what is that? I can't say I understand that. If the psalmist has something dead which needs to be revived, it's like a remaining corruption that we have. I care too much about things that I shouldn't care about, or I don't care enough about things I should care about. It's like our affections are warped. And you could maybe describe it in other ways, but I think that's one of the ways in which the Bible presents it, is we have our desires and our affections are at odds with God's ways, even though he's come in and give us new desires and new affections. I know I'm spending all this time on one verse, but I will get moving here. So revive me according to your word. The psalmist has fallen into some kind of temptation. I mean, doesn't say that, but he's crying out to have God come and revive him. And we could say, God, revive me. God, change me. Where I'm not pure, let me be pure. And the psalmist says, revive me according to your word, as your word promises. Now, okay, I think we're all familiar that there's some pretty wonderful promises that God wants to cleanse us, that God makes us new, that he gives us a new heart. So let's keep moving here. These themes will come up again. Verse 26, I have declared my ways, and you heard me. Teach me your statutes. Okay, this is a strange thing. I have declared my ways. So have you ever gone to God and declared your ways? Anybody want to come up here and declare your ways? I tell you, I don't want to come up here and declare my ways. I mean, what would that look like? How great I am? How perfect I am? You know, I can tell you what, I have oceans of patience, and I'm very consistent, always disciplined, and I never fail. I mean, no. How bold I am. No, I don't think so. It's more like how inconsistent, how flawed, how imperfect. I'm not trying to mitigate the wonderful things that God has done in my life. I'm not trying to be a worm here. Like, God has done amazing things in my life. I could tell you one-on-one of how God has changed me. But I'm very conscious, and I think we're all very conscious of the ways in which we miss the mark. Apart from me, you can do nothing, said Jesus. Apart from grace, we stink. So, first verse, the psalmist is dealing with, he's humbled over something in his life, and he's praying for God to revive him. He's declaring his ways. Teach me your statutes, he cries out. Verse 27, make me to understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on thy wondrous works. If you meditate, this is one of those instructions, if you meditate from a place of humility, you will get understanding. And God rewards those who are stubborn about these kind of things. You stubbornly come to God. God, you said, I will get understanding. I am going to come. I am going to meditate. He will reward that. Verse 28. My soul weeps for heaviness, or grief, depending on your translation. Another description of the state of his own soul. The first verse was, my soul clings to the dust. He's talking about state of his soul again. My soul weeps for heaviness. Raise me up according to your word. The Bible does this, where it says the same thing in two ways. He said, revive me according to your word. Raise me up according to your word. So when you're looking at the Bible, you will often notice where it will repeat itself and say the same thing in two different ways to help us understand. So the heavens are telling the glory of God, the firmament, the work of his hands, things like that. So that's an aspect of especially the Old Testament. So, again, he is not doing well, and he's crying out to the Lord to raise him up. Verse 29, take from me the way of lying and graciously grant me thy law. Okay? Another strange, I mean, this is a prayer, okay? Like, look, first I just want to note, this is another prayer we can pray for ourselves. Take from me the way of lying and graciously grant me your law. It's a strange prayer. Take from me the way of lying. A couple things to point out. He's referring to the way of lying. And in two verses before, he says, I will declare to you my ways. So he's kind of like talking about this, my way. There's a problem with my way. And my way ain't cutting it. And I'm coming to you, Lord, to help me deal with me. And I think we can all identify with our need in that area. We're our own worst enemy, right? You know, everywhere you go, there you are. You bring yourself with you. And, you know, we want to look at our circumstances as our problems, but they're more likely in the mirror. And so he says, I've got this way. Take it from me. You know, I have worked at it. Maybe for us it's a different thing. Maybe it's not lying. Maybe it's resentment. And so it would be, Lord, take from me the way of resentment toward so-and-so. Take from me the way of critical speech, being critical. Take from me the way of jealousy. Take from me the way of rudeness. Take from me the way of grouchiness. Take from me the way of impure thoughts. Whatever it is, you know, we can, you know, like, okay, I'm gonna buckle down, and I'm gonna get a handle on this. Like, you know, I am going to be nicer. You know, be patient. Like, you know, we do these things to try and, you know, change ourselves. You know, the Lord just says, come to me, and, you know, well, let me just say this. We try to do these things that don't work. Okay? They don't work. And we need God's grace. We need God's presence. It's mysterious, but it's real. And God wants us to come to him and to receive that help with that part of us that we can't just, where's the knob I turn? How do I fix this about me? And so if you have a failure, a repetitive failure in your life, like I have, he's bringing lying. Lord, take this from me and graciously grant me your law. Okay, here's a prayer we can pray for ourselves today. Grant me your law. Revive me according to your word. The gospel is not good news for people who are already perfect. It is good news for sinners. And this is not to excuse sin and say it's okay, you're just human, but it's to instruct us how to apply the good news and day by day be transformed by it. So, you know, we come to God as a believer. I'm speaking of as a Christian, transformed person who has some failure in your life. And we say, okay, Lord, I have been trying. I'm still failing. The thing I don't want to do, I'm doing. Here I am again. I didn't turn this off, did I? Okay. We want to, like, come to God and, like, but at least I have this. I will give you this. But, you know, like, I have something to offer that helps a little bit in this, overcoming this problem. I think you will agree with me that we really don't have much to offer other than more of the same. It's like, well, anyway, so something that I have been learning to do in my own life is I come to God and I say, God, okay, I have this problem. I want to make a trade. How do you like this? I will give you all of this bad responses on my part. Will you give me the replacement? I can't. You know, you can read self-help books on, like, how to be more thankful or how to be more whatever the virtue is that we're lacking in. Like, there's no lack of self-help books on stuff, you know, how to, like, dissect it and understand it and improve, but I just say no. That's not gospel change. We just come to Jesus and we say, Lord, I give you what I have. Here's what I have to pitch in, which is junk. Yeah. No, nothing good. will you give me what you have, which is patience or whatever the thing is. Revive me according to your word, or I need it. I mean, we could stop there. The psalmist has three more verses, very briefly. Verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth, and thy judgments have I laid before me. Again, this is another one of those, the Bible saying the same thing twice. They do that a lot in the Psalms. So have you chosen, do you choose the way of truth? You will know if you lay it in front of you. You know, this thing. If you lay this in front, if you lay the word of God in front of you, like, you know, as often as you can, not a certain amount of times, but if that's something you do, then you have chosen the way of truth. I'm doing what I can. You know, I can't get in there and fix whatever thing it is, but God's saying this is what you can do. You can pray, Lord, take this from me, and you can open your Bible. Like, this is something God has given us to do. Your word I have laid before me. Are you defeated? Lay the truth in front of you and trust God with the rest. And keep doing it as many times as it takes. I have clung to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. Again, that's something we can do. We can cling to God's testimonies. We can put them in front of us. And if we fall off the wagon and we stop reading the Bible, we just, well, start again. You know, if you miss breakfast, you don't have to eat breakfast in order to eat lunch. You can just start with lunch. You can just start with today. Right? You can just pick up God's word today and start anew every time you fall off. Let me not be put to shame. Are you sick of being put to shame by your sin? Well, cling to God's word and keep clinging to it and keep asking him to change you. And you will not be put to shame. The last verse is different from all the other verses in this section. I will run the way of thy commandments when you shall enlarge my heart. The psalmist is no longer in the dust. He's no longer crying out, revive me. He's running the way of God's commandments unhindered. So, may that be our experience as we are simple and we bring our failures to God and we ask him to take them and we trust him with the rest.